WGBR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. If the U.S. does not raise the debt ceiling, the nation risks defaulting as soon as July, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Speaking before a union in Maryland, President Biden saying Republicans are holding the debt ceiling hostage to make spending cuts.
Here's the deal. If Republicans try to take away people's health care, increase costs for middle-class families, or push Americans into poverty, I'm going to stop them.
Tears, shouts, and threats in an Erie County, New York courtroom where Buffalo supermarket mass shooter Peyton Gendron was sentenced to life in prison for a racist attack.
I will hurt you so bad. You have made me sick. You got my family crying. I miss my sister every day.
Barbara Massey was giving her victim impact statement when a man lunged at Gendron. The head of the EPA will head to East Palestine, Ohio tomorrow, where a train carrying toxic chemicals derailed nearly 2 weeks ago. This is ABC News. The FBI issuing a warning about something called the pig butchering scam.
It's called that because the victim is convinced to beg, borrow, or steal to buy into an investment that turns out not to exist. He or she is fattened up and then slaughtered financially. The FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center heard more than 4,300 horror stories about pig butchering scams in 2021, totaling more than $429 million in losses. The initial contact is often made through an innocent-looking text message from someone who has the wrong number, then strikes up a conversation about an amazing investment opportunity. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
For the second time during the pandemic, Tuesday Morning has filed for bankruptcy protection, plans to close more than half of its stores. For the first time, Tesla is opening a portion of its charger network to other electric vehicles. It's part of an agreement the Biden administration struck with Tesla, making at least 7,500 chargers available for all EVs by the end of next year. Andy Field, ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is getting more than $25 million from Washington to do something about PFAS pollution in drinking water. The money comes from the Environmental Protection Agency under the bipartisan infrastructure law. The EPA is spending $5 billion over the next 5 years to help communities across the country with PFAS contamination in their drinking water. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will not get involved in the fight between UW Health and its nurses who want the Madison-based healthcare system to recognize their union. That sends the legal fight back to Dane County Circuit Court. The nurses are happy with the decision. A spokesperson says UW Health tried to get around the regular legal process to get a favorable ruling from the High Court's conservative majority. In sports, the Bucks beat the Celtics in overtime last night. The Badgers beat Michigan. Tonight, Marquette hosts Xavier. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 a.m. 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Little Moments Count, a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Hey, that's exciting. And we're going to talk to the Little Moments people. And you know, today's been a crazy day. We were at the state capitol doing a lot of things that we'll talk about later in the show. We'll give that was a teaser, Wendy.
It is a teaser.
Right now we're with Anna Shepherd, who's the president of the White Earth Tribal and Community College in Minnesota here. We are really excited to hear your truth, and we also have Tammy with you too. So, wow, let's get going right away with this great information. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate being here. So this is awesome that you guys invited us to speak with you today on, you know, this important topic. And so I want to introduce my colleague, Tammy.
Hello.
Hey, welcome, Tammy. Great to have you both here. And Tammy, you're the Head Start Pathways Program Coordinator at White Earth Tribal and Community College. That's WETCC. We love the fact that you're here spreading this word. We're all over the country, all over Turtle Island. We're in Civic Media, which is on 11 stations live in Wisconsin, and of course, AM 950 and in Minnesota, and also live on YouTube and Facebook. So we're here excited to amplify your message.
Thanks for having us.
Cool. So let's talk. Let's get the questions going here, Wendy. Let's talk a few things here and find out what exactly are you doing up. Or first of all, maybe tell everyone where White Earth is, and that's a good thing to start with, because we have people from all over the country. Where, Anna? Where are you located?
Yep, we are located in Minnesota. So, kind of towards the northwestern, located in Mahnomen, Minnesota.
Cool. And, you know, let's talk about your program. And I think Tammy, maybe I can bring Tammy in here to ask her a few questions right away. And, you know, it's important. We talk about this with all the people that come on with Little Moments Count. It's so important to get our little ones early and talk about learning and being in a good environment. How do you support that, and how do you do that up there in White Earth?
Okay, well, what I do is I'm a coordinator of a grant, and it is funding the Head Start Pathways program, which is an initiative to increase the number of highly qualified early childhood education staff who possess Indigenous knowledge and cultural understanding both in and around the White Earth Reservation and Northwest Minnesota. And that is made possible through a Tribal Colleges and Head Start Partnership grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Administration of Children and Families, Office of Head Start. I have to get in our funding, yeah. Our funding partners for sure. But what we do basically is educate the early childhood educators who are teaching the youngest in our communities.
Wow, that's exciting. You know, Anna, can you say who is in your college? Who are your students and what kind of degrees do you have to offer? And we're talking about education, but I'm sure there's more than just education at your school.
Yep, we are a TCU, so there's 35 across the nation. TCU stands for Tribal Colleges and Universities. And so we are primarily made up of Indigenous students. I want to say we're about 80% of our population is Indigenous students. And wow. Then we are open, you know, to non-Indigenous students, so they make up about 20%. And so right now we offer the Associates of Arts degree. We're looking at expanding, you know, an AS science degree right now. We're also looking to put our AA online. So we have some of our courses that we are, and we do offer different certificates. So a popular one that people are really flocking to is our Ojibwe language. And so that's just a fun one to hear. You know, the students, you know, when they have their language tables, we have a room just designated solely where when you walk in there, that's how you get greeted and you have conversations. So, yeah, it's really a fun thing to have.
That is an exciting thing. And I think it's chilling for our older ones and young ones to hear that spoken all the time. Zoe, do you have any response? You're a recent graduate. It's excited to hear the language and see these programs for our little ones.
Yeah. And I have I've been a part of a lot of programming at WETCC. I moved down here 4 years ago, but I used to go to a lot of the extension programming that you guys have, and it's really wonderful to see that now that you guys have more things for the little ones, because I know that's also an issue with adults that are going to the college is having childcare in order to go to school and to be present in classes. So is that something that is a part of this too? Or like, how does that work with your students? Isn't there a Head Start right next to the Tribal College, or am I getting that wrong?
No, you are absolutely correct. We have a Head Start right across the street and located right on our grounds. We have a partnership with childcare, so they are located there too. So we know a lot of our students do utilize those, and we have some of our staff too. And the big thing that we went after this Head Start Pathways grant is to grow our own. You know, we know the best educators are parents, and so we just want to make sure that they get educated so they can come into the classrooms and have those positions, because who better to teach our students than those in the community and those who know our Anishinaabe cultures, values, and traditions and can speak some of the language. And I know prior to my position as a president at White Earth Tribal and Community College, I was the Head Start director, so I oversaw all the villages on the reservation. And one of the big initiatives, and I did bring one of them, we call it the Book of Numbers. I'm not sure if you guys can see this. I know those of you listening, you have no idea what I'm showing. But we worked with the community members to come in, and we developed these books here. And then we use pictures just from our current classrooms, but we also put you know, the numbers in there, and, you know, with the indigenous language, and also with the Ojibwe, or the English, sorry. And then the other thing, what you can't really see on the pictures, I'll hold this one up, it's another example, is they're using sign language. So this is the sign for colors. Wow. And so a lot of people don't understand that sign language is an indigenous language, and that's how the tribes used to communicate with other tribes, is through that one. So now, you know, we have come about and we have the ASL, the American Sign Language, but that's something that I was really passionate. So we did get that program developed over there. So they're also teaching the sign language with that, in which we notice, especially with our younger students who haven't quite talked about, you know, their feelings or don't have that language developed, they're able to sign it. And so a child as young as 6 months old can start signing if you give them that knowledge.
Wow. Let's talk more about that. And let's get deep into what you guys are doing there, you and Tammy. I'm really excited to hear that. And I'm really excited to hear about the signing, because that is our old way for sure. You know, how we traded amongst indigenous people up here. So, you know, wow, I'm excited. We're with Anna and Tammy, and we're talking about some tribal stuff here, and we're going to be right back. This is exciting, Wendy.
It's very exciting. I have a little story to tell you about my niece who's 16 months old.
Oh, wow. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their winter hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count, a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Hey, wow, we got Anna Shepherd and Tammy here, who is the Pathways Coordinator. I want to jump into, I know Wendy's got a story, but I want to jump into with Tammy and tell our audience what really is the Pathways program, and let's get that out there.
We applied for a grant. We're about midway through. What it does is it's a collaborative between White Earth Tribal and Community College, on the University of Minnesota Crookston and White Earth Head Start program. And basically, it's a scholarship program that supports students, and it trains the early childhood educators. They start by earning their degree or their two-year degree with us at White Earth. Because we're a tribal college, the culture and history is built into all of our coursework. And so it gives them a good foundation. And then we get them ready to transfer to UMC to finish out their four-year degree in early childhood education.
Wow. And Tammy, Anna, I want to ask you this. Why is it so important to incorporate Native Indigenous knowledge in the culture? I mean, I know why, but I want our audience to hear it from you. Oh.
Yep. Basically, it's just to validate, our lives and to see individuals that look like us, in those different educational systems. I look back at my history, going through the K-12 system. I think there was one Indigenous teacher that I had, and so I didn't see myself supported there, and then even, they didn't understand, going to powwows and how we're a powwow family, they just didn't understand a lot of that. And so with this, I think it's important, like I said, just to have someone that can teach our ways and that, don't have to worry about, do I say this here? Do I not say that there? Because, that's something that we think about. And when I talk about that with the people to try to explain that, I said, even when you ask me my name, I have to think about, what context am I in? Do you want to know my clan? Do you know my true name? Do you want to know my English name, my family, my background? I have to constantly weigh that in, it's something that I'm constantly thinking about, like, okay, where am I and what do I have to say and do? So
yeah.
That's why we do this, and like I said, it's really important to grow our own, in the White Earth Nation. And so this is why we applied for that grant, and I believe there's only six of us across the nation who received this grant. And so it was a pilot program, and my understanding talking with them is that they hope to continue this program. So we'll be able to reapply, and hopefully we'll get that and continue to, just have more educators in our nation.
Wow, that's great. And, I want to bring Wendy and my wife here because we have a young one in our extended family. And you kind of hit a cool little thing about signing and how important that is. We got just a little mini story, right, Wen?
Well, my niece did sign language with my great niece. She's 16 months old now, from the day she was born. So the things like she would say more, please, thank you, water. And Lily, who's 16 months old, can sign all of those because she doesn't have language skills right now. So signing is really important. So she could communicate, which is really awesome. Yeah. Since her body can't say the words right now.
Yeah. And Anna, that is so exciting. And I really love the fact that you brought up being Ho-Chunk, that we did a lot of trading. We've been here for 10,000 years amongst our Native and Indigenous people here. And that's how we did speak. And it's come from us. And you bringing that up is very important for everyone to hear.
It is. And so I appreciate you sharing that story because that is why I wanted to make sure that, ASL was taught at those Head Start sites. And even with students, who don't have that ability, they have a way now to communicate. And so instead of, acting out, they're able to, sign. And we even did one on feelings because we know ASL is very expressionable, in our facial expression. So if they're happy, it's really going to show. And if they're angry, that's going to come across too.
Wow, this is amazing. Tammy, How do you feel about that? Because I'm sitting here kind of amazed about.
I actually use that with my youngest son. I mean, he's 19 now, but at the time, you know, when he was, you know, 18 months or, you know, they talk about the terrible twos all the time, but we found that by using sign language, it alleviates a lot of the frustration, because a lot of the times it's just their inability to communicate, you know, what they want or what they need. And it did. It was like night and day once we gave him the signs. It made life so much easier for all of us.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, we got a few minutes left here, Anna. I'm really thinking it's important to back up a little bit and talk a little bit more about the White Earth Tribal and Community College and the interest in, if somebody's interested in seeking a degree or in early child education, what do they have to do? What's their next steps?
Yep, they can just go right on our website, which is WETCC, short for White Earth Tribal Community College. And just go on there and, you know, let us know that they're interested, and they can also view some of our pictures, our offerings that we have. And so we're starting to, in March, sign up for fall classes already, or sorry, summer classes. Yeah. And so, and you can even apply for starting this fall already. So yes, send them our way. We're excited. You know, one of the things, I just got back from Washington, D.C., so I had two students, and they testified, you know, with our senators and representatives. But they shared that one of the things that, you know, it was really impactful is they said that the reason they come to TCUs is because they feel like it's family. They get the help. Any questions that they have, they don't feel like, you know, getting shamed. They'll, you know, if they don't know that, they're going to find someone else, you know, who can help them, whether it's at the college or whether it's with another White Earth entity, but we're going to help them and just make sure that they have a successful academic program. And so, you know, we want to make sure that everything that they're hit on, you know, the emotional, social, cognitive levels.
Wow, that's exciting. Tammy, do you have any last words before we end this? Because this has gone by way too fast, but I think we've learned a ton of stuff in a short time.
Absolutely. Just reminding you that the website is wetcc.edu, and you can click on apply now and fill out the application right online. And it only takes a few minutes, and your future is within reach. It's right there.
Well, I want to bring in Zoe one last time, too, if she has any questions or statements, because she's a young worker with us, and she just got out of college, so this is kind of her jam, too. It's fresh for her. Zoe, do you have any comments or statements before we end this?
I guess just asking how, especially Anna, since you've been in the field so long, how you see these programs helping our youth, and if you've been able to see more long-term effects on what these programs offer to them and how that helps helps them. Yeah, I guess that's my question.
Yep, I definitely see Head Start being very impactful, especially working with our youngest, and that carries all the way up through to our collegiate level. But just with our youngest, just giving them, you know, a level playing field. So when they enter the K-12 system, they have a lot of that knowledge. And so that's what's super important as, you know, parents, just to make sure that you're reading to your children, having those conversations, playing those games, and talking about our culture. Bring them to ceremonies if it's appropriate, you know, at that time for you. You know, I just look back at both of my girls. They are now adults, working adults. One is a kindergarten teacher, so it's kind of fun to see her, what she's learned and utilized. And one of the big things that she does is she purposely wears her skirt, and then she'll let the other Indigenous students know that. And so they'll either wear the ribbon skirts or their skirts on the same day. So she's really bringing cultural pride there and just making an impact. And, you know, it's on a non-reservation. And so it's out in Eastern North Dakota. So that's pretty cool. Then my other daughter, she works at Youth Works here in Fargo. So works with a lot of the Indigenous population who are having some issues, whether it's trafficking or, you know, domestic abuse situations. So, yeah, it's fun to see where they're going. And I just kind of wanted to go back to what Tammy said. You know, if you're interested in working in Head Start, definitely check out that program. Everything will be covered and paid for. They provide a computer. There are stipends that they also have, I believe, gas. And so Tammy could probably wrap that up in, you know, a little bit more what we offer there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically a full scholarship. Covers your tuition, books, fees, and anything. There's need-based stipends, so even when it comes to licensure and cost for tests, we cover that. So yeah, we take away that barrier of the financial burden that college could be.
Wow, thank you so much, you guys, for being on. Check out www.wetcc.edu. Thank you so much for stopping in. What a great way to start the show. Pini Gigi for all you do for our community. Ho-wa.
WAUK.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. If the U.S. does not raise the debt ceiling, the nation risks defaulting as soon as July, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Speaking before a union in Maryland, President Biden saying Republicans are holding the debt ceiling hostage to make spending cuts.
Here's the deal. If Republicans try to take away people's health care, increased costs for middle-class families to push Americans into poverty, I'm going to stop them.
Tears, shouts, and threats in an Erie County, New York courtroom where Buffalo supermarket mass shooter Peyton Gendron was sentenced to life in prison for a racist attack.
I will hurt you so bad. You have made me sick. You got my family crying. I miss my sister every day.
Barbara Massey was giving her victim impact statement when a man lunged at Gendron. The head of the EPA will head to East Palestine, Ohio tomorrow, where a train carrying toxic chemicals derailed nearly 2 weeks ago. This is ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is getting more than $25 million from Washington to do something about PFAS pollution in drinking water. The money comes from the Environmental Protection Agency under the bipartisan infrastructure law. The EPA is spending $5 billion over the next 5 years to help communities across the country with PFAS contamination in their drinking water. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will not get involved in the fight between UW Health and its nurses who want the Madison-based healthcare system to recognize their union. That sends the legal fight back to Dane County Circuit Court. The nurses are happy with the decision. A spokesperson says UW Health tried to get around the regular legal process to get a favorable ruling from the High Court's conservative majority. In sports, the Bucks beat the Celtics in overtime last night. The Badgers beat Michigan. Tonight, Marquette hosts Xavier. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Wax Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit, we're in shape, we are tight, we are muscular, we are attractive for our ages, and we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
That's a good thing to bring up, Wendy. Today we were both at the Capitol, and we also saw Ogama and Nova was there.
I did not see them.
Well, they were there, and it was funny. She had Nova underneath a jacket, so every once in a while Ogama would pull her jacket off and surprise everyone that she was like had a baby.
Nova is little Ogama's baby, so cute. Yeah, so Robert and I was really kind of funny that we were both scheduled to go to the state capitol today, both of us for different reasons and for different issues. Right. And it was kind of funny that we were both there today.
Yeah, well, you with
HSUS, which HSUS. Is the Humane Society of the United States. I was lobbying for some really awesome animal bills.
And I was there talking with our legislators. I guess I can say this because everything's out in the open, but I'm really working on Minnesota to recognize Ho-Chunk Nation as a not a tribe, but as
federally recognized.
Well, state recognized.
Yes, state.
Because there's all these great things that are happening, Wendy, as you know. And we have, you know, close to 1,000 Ho-Chunk and descendants in the state. And we were the original treaty signers. And we were pushed off in 1862 and pushed off many times to basically live on a rock and die.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to remind our senators and representatives. And I ran around doing that. And there was also the rise, you know, the exactly I'm stumbling here, but it's it's the rise and repair indigenous rights climate justice that was happening today too. So I jumped in on that too, and we had one of the people that are on our show quite a bit recently, Rachel Thunder spoke, and I don't know if you mind, it's a couple minutes here, but it kind of tells the story of what was going on.
So you want to play that now?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
I think you should do that. All right. I think it's important to hear from people.
Here, let me make sure I got everything going here, because yesterday it was a little...
he's warning us all that there may be... There we go.
Thunder. I say hello and I say thank you to each of you. I'm Plains Cree, Treaty 8, Nihio Nihiowak. My name is Rachel Thunder. I'm with the American Indian Movement, Little Earth Protectors, and a community member of South Minneapolis. And I stand here with my sister, my auntie, Nicole, representing that South Minneapolis indigenous community and saying no to the demolition at Roof Depot there in South Minneapolis. We don't want that there. We don't want those poisons released there. We don't want those trucks there. We want to protect our children, our grandchildren, and not this generation, but for all the generations to come. I was not planning on speaking today, and I was sitting there and I was looking at these signs, and I remember yesterday was the birthday of John Trudell. And so I was sitting there and I was thinking of John, one of my role models, and some of the words that he said, sitting here in this institution that was meant to control and suppress our people. I always get a sick feeling when I come to these places. And I remember him saying that the only thing that they care about is power. And to them, power is money. Money is an illusion of power. There is no true power in money. And that's the only thing that they care about with this Roof Depot, is money. They don't care about us. They don't care about our communities. The only real power is with the earth. There's no power in their systems. They've only been here for 530 years. There's no power here. And as the indigenous people, we are not going to stop protecting the true power, which is the earth. Because the earth doesn't need us. We need the earth. If every single one of us was wiped off the earth today, it might take her millions of years, but she's resilient. She's the true power, not this system, not this money, and we're not going to stop. No devil!
Yeah, you know, Wendy, I wanted to play that for a couple reasons, mm-hmm. Wendy and Zoe. One of them is how we need to, as citizens, stand up for things like you did today, mm-hmm. I did today, and Rachel Thunder spoke about what's happening in Minneapolis and standing up for that, where they're trying to move all, get rid of that rooftop building, and then they're going to tear it down and bring all these trucks into the Little Earth community and all that pollution and hard to breathe. And that's why yesterday... Tuesday, why the mayor was asked to leave of Minneapolis, because he was coming with a proclamation and they said, you voted against our people here. And so it's a big thing. And not only that, Wendy, they're going to start on the 27th of this month to start, or 26th or 27th, to start tearing down that building so that they can bring all these city trucks in and idle, you know, they idle the trucks all the time. And they're consolidating all these vehicles in one area, and it's going to be very pollutant to our relatives in Minneapolis, and especially the poor people in White Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe, you were there yesterday when the mayor was asked to leave in not so nice a way, right?
Yeah, and I actually wasn't able to make it to the rally today, but I did catch a bit of the speeches on the Honor the Earth live stream. And so I was able to listen in more to Elder Mary Lyons and some other folks from Little Earth. And yeah, I just wanted to mention... that Little Earth is a 9.4 acre, 212 unit HUD subsidized housing complex in the Phillips neighborhood of Minneapolis. And it's a really important place. It's one of the only of its kind. And that community is often left out of a lot of conversations and often faces a lot of the consequences of actions like the one that Mayor Fry just took. And so I was really happy to see that Little Earth was well represented at the rally today, because they just need more help and attention on the issues that they face. And I also just wanted to plug that if you can totally donate to them, I'll put it up here too. Their website is littleearth.org. That is little, L-I-T-T-L-E, earth, E-A-R-T-H.org. And they have a donation button, and I know they would greatly appreciate it if anybody is open to that. So, yeah, I was just thinking about some of Elder Mary Lyons' remarks too, and I just thought she opened it up really beautifully with the culture and keeping it grounded in the language and our values. And then to hear from Rachel as well, as a younger person, was really powerful, because mm-hmm. she speaks with such vigor and sureness, and it's just really beautiful to see her in that space fighting for all of us.
Really good point. And, you know, I guess my point, too, about this segment, Wendy and Zoe, is that to get involved, you know, get out there and get involved. We're talking to people that put their pants on in the same way as everybody else. And I know, Wendy, you've been doing this for a while, talking to our legislators and senators. What advice do you have?
The advice I have is just to get to know them. They work for us. You know, we pay to have them there for us, and they're there to represent us. So if there's anything that you feel really strongly about that you want to have done, anything at all, you can just knock on their door, literally. We had a couple of, we had a Senator Dibble today, and another representative come and talk to our group that we were at the state capitol, and they said, you know, it's great if you could make an appointment and you come and you talk to us, but you know what? I can't tell you how many times a constituent will just knock on my door. And if I could see them, I will. And I'll sit down and I'll talk with them. And, you know, they're going to tell me what's important to them.
You know, we got a few minutes left in this segment, and I want to get down to what you were at the Capitol for in the last segment, Wendy. But I also want to finish this off. Mm-hmm. I did have an opportunity with my Ho-Chunk, you know, to do just that. Not have an appointment and sneak in there and talk to. I saw State Representative Heather Keeler, and there was other representatives coming in at the same time as we were talking about Minnesota recognizing Ho-Chunk Nation as one of the tribes here. And she was on top of it. And then Roger Moe, who was a senator for many, many, many years and leader of the House or leader of the Senate for many years in Minnesota here, is working for Red Lake Nation, and he walked by. So just to amplify what you said, knock on the door, and if they're not there, they won't answer.
Exactly. And sometimes you just meet him in the hallway, too.
Right.
You know, walking down the hallway. I saw Mary Kunish today. And well, I'll tell you in the next segment what she had to tell me. It was really good news, and I was very happy to hear it. But yeah, it's kind of fun to be at the Capitol. I mean, you know, it has a really good vibe, and it gives you energy and kind of pumps you up. And we even sat in on a housing hearing, right? A hearing meeting. Is that what you call that?
Exactly.
That's the first time I ever did that. So that was exciting.
I was in earlier with education, mm-hmm. And I saw State Senator Mary Kunish there. And yeah. And so it is fun, but it's hard for people too. And we talk about this a lot, Wendy, especially our native relatives here, that it's not a place built for us. So mm-hmm. I know, yeah. Like by talking to Rachel after she spoke and talking to her, it was hard for her to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I could see that. Yeah.
But I grooved on the energy today too, because we're preaching to the choir and moving mountains to our trifecta here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and that's exciting, and that's what
so
gets me
exciting.
Going.
So exciting. Yes, we're finally going to be able to get some important work done.
So, hey, next segment, Wendy, we're going to talk a little bit about what you were working on.
Yeah.
And what a great show. The pressure's on. So far, it's been a great show, Wendy.
Well, let's wait and see what happens.
Oh, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Wendy Pilot talking about her experience and what she was doing today at the Capitol. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Winter fun is waiting for everyone at the Park Tavern. The Park Tavern is a great get-together location for family and friends. The food at the Park Tavern is outstanding with something for everyone. Pizza, wraps, sandwiches, burgers, salads, entrees, pasta, and wings. Take advantage of the best bowling lanes in Minnesota and enjoy the full menu while you bowl. No matter what your favorite sport is, the Park Tavern has all the big games on its many screens. And if you're looking for a private event, the Park Tavern offers private event packages for any size group. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, warm fun this winter awaits you at the Park Tavern.
Winter is here, and there's a good chance your home isn't being heated efficiently. And it's likely because of air sealing and insulation problems. Inadequate attic insulation is the leading contributor to high energy bills, cold rooms, and ice damps. Great news, the energy efficient pros at Snap Construction can fix it all. Stop the heat from leaking out and save. Call 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com for your free infrared energy inspection. Install with Snap Construction and qualify for over $750 in rebates and incentives. State and city programs are now offering 0% financing for qualifying insulation upgrades. So call Snap Construction for your free insulation energy consultation and start saving on your energy bills. Call 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or visit snapconstruction.com. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed insulation and exterior contractor in the metro area. Visit snapconstruction.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! I think we got to do that again. I don't think Zoe howled.
Zoe has to join us.
I missed
this portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Okay.
All right.
Right on.
Hey, I practice that howl.
Right on. Hey, awesome show, Wendy. And it's interesting to... for years, you've gone up to the Capitol, and I think really this is the first time I've done anything that sort. You know, talking
as far as like lobbying goes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So you've always inspired me, and you've always done that. So I put on my suit and pulled back my hair and took some medicine with me.
Showered today.
Took some medicine with me because you never know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So when Robert talks about medicine, he's talking about like a necklace that he wears around his neck, and it has like a little pouch in it, and then the pouch inside the pouch has.
You're not supposed to say.
Oh, something in it to protect against like evil spirits or bad jealousy feelings towards a person or any kind of
lying
or anything like that. Growing up in a American Italian family,
forget about it.
We had a tradition where, especially with the little babies that were born, we would put a little red Italian horn, and we would pin it on their undershirt,
and we would
hang it in their crib. And this was so that, like, when people came to see the baby, you'd always hope that people would give like well wishes towards the baby, but you never know who has like a kind of a sinister type of feeling about maybe they're jealous of the baby or something. So it's the same kind of thing.
What you just said there, and I know I want to get into this here, but I want to ask you again. So Italians have horns? Is that what you just said?
No, it's an Italian red horn. It's from like an animal.
Okay, from an animal. Okay.
Yeah, not right. From the Italian person.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Oh, no.
Thanks for the clarification. All right. Hey, talk about what happened and, you know, introduce yourself.
Yeah, actually, let me introduce myself. As everybody already knows, my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by Maidega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And that's exactly what I was doing today, was lobbying for Humane Lobby Day.
Protecting our sacred animals, our relatives.
Yes, which I always love to do. And actually, a week ago from today, last week, I was at the state capitol again, which was my pleasure to do for Wolf Day with Howling for Wolves. So Dr. Maureen Hackett, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves, put together Wolf Day, and we went and we talked to our legislators.
Say it again. Say Howling for Wolves.
Howling for Wolves. And it's really, really great. And I saw Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish today.
Cool.
At the Capitol, and I was walking around, and she said, "Wendy, I just have some exciting news to tell you." And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "I just want you to know that I signed on the bill to ban wolf hunting here in Minnesota.
Oh.
So I had to give her a big hug, and I'm so excited to hear that and how important that is. So thank you very much, Senator Kunesh, for doing that and realizing how important our Minnesota wolves are here.
Exactly.
Yeah. But today, what I was there at the state capitol to lobby for the Humane Society of the United States, and we have a pets and housing package.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about our animals, it's about our people also. And one of the bills is really important because it wants to improve access to rental housing for low-income pet owners, right? We don't want pet owners of low-income to go into the housing and have to pay astronomical fees to keep their pets or pay lots
their
of
family.
Right. And to have to pay all these fees and things or more rent because you have an animal and things like that. So and so that's very important because, you know, a lot of people who get turned away from housing because they have a pet, they end up on the street. They're homeless. This should not happen. And people should not have to give up their pets to the shelters because of this. This is... It's a humanitarian issue.
I sat with you, and you did a great job talking to our representative, Dave Pinto, who's really a good listener. And
yes.
But what I heard blew my mind, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the... breed of dog.
Yeah, that's the next bill. So it's equity and liability insurance coverage for pet owners. It's a big, long name, but what it comes down to is it prohibits insurers, right, from considering the breed of a family dog, right? So the insurance companies cannot charge you more money because of what type of breed of dog that you have.
And go to the next
step. Yes, I am going to go to the next step because here's the next step. This law was first put in place because most people of color have, let's just say, pit bulls, right? So instead of saying because you're of a color,
right,
we don't want to insure you. Instead, what they did was they put a stipulation in the insurance to say if you own this type of dog, you can't have this housing or you have to pay more insurance. Or
that blew my mind.
Yes, it's true. So one of the other bills, the equity in liability insurance coverage for pet owners, prohibits insurance from considering the breed of a family dog for underwriting or determining risk or loss or when gathering information about an insured person. So it should not matter what type of breed that you have.
Right.
And I want to tell people this right off the bat. A pit bull is not a breed.
Right.
A pit bull is a dog that has certain characteristics. And I grew up with pit bulls.
Yeah.
My family has pit bulls. My aunt had
the
Little Rascals. If you old enough to have watched Stymie and the rest of the gang on The Little Rascals, Petey, that dog was a pit bull.
Right.
You know,
and a circle around his eye.
It would have circled around his eye. So,
that was amazing to hear.
And I also want to say, you know, we grew up with pit bulls, and the pit bulls were the kindest, gentlest, most loving dogs. Everybody in the family was afraid of Gigi. She was the chihuahua. She's the one you had to watch out for, not the pit bull.
Right.
The pit bull was the kind one. Gigi, nice, you nice want to watch out for.
Nice name, by the way.
Yeah. The other one, Robert, that you're not going to even believe that happens. Do I have time?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
do it really fast. So the prohibition of landlords requiring declawing of your cat and devocalization of your dog in order to live in the housing. So there's some landlords out there that are saying, well, if you have a pet, if you have a cat, you have to get it declawed.
No.
And if you have a dog, you have to debark it. These two surgical procedures are the most cruel thing that you could that could happen. So we want that on the books because that should not be happening here in Minnesota or anywhere else in the United States.
Yeah, and I think you got a really good response for the, when the group that you presented. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And look what Santina said. Pit bulls are the nannies of the dog
community.
That's
right. In the 30s and 40s, they were known as nanny dogs. That's right. And also the Minnesota Humane Pet Store law that I've been talking about for the past 6 years.
Yes. Hey, Peeny Geegee, thank you, Zoe. Thank you,
Tammy and Anna.
Thanks, Minnesota. Moments Count.
Little Moments Count.
Yes, yes. And if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Cafe Latte offers.
From the kennel to.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.